eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Cobra Kai fans, come hear what Peyton List has to say on Kicking It With The Coves this week.
Peyton plays one of my favorite characters, Tori Nichols.
Our stunt coordinators came up with a sort of training background for each character.
That's interesting.
Tori had done a little kickboxing before, so that kind of came in when I first tried to take on Miguel and why I was cocky enough to think that, you know, I could come in here and I could just make an entrance.
Listen to Kicking It With The Coves now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, and wherever you can sweep your leg and get the podcasts.
Welcome to the show, guys.
What?
I'm confused.
What?
What? Welcome to the party, pal. Hey, it's Shift and Steer. The pals are all on board.
And I thought the pal movement ended.
No, it's still on the upswing. I get emails every week from guys that are going, oh, I listened to this on the show, pal, or, you know, things like that.
I don't know if that's true.
It is true. I can prove it.
I don't believe it.
And okay, they're not emails. They're messages on, like, Twitter and things like that.
Oh. Wire some funds to a bank account.
We're going
to
talk about the singer of Volvos today. And I don't know what kind of music they play, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a Nissan Pathfinder, and we're going to talk about ferocious speed bumps and a bunch more today. TikTok. We're going to talk about TikTok. And
it's one of those shows.
It's one of those shows. It's a Friday, and it's Shift and Stare. And it's brought to you today by Geico. And Geico asks, would you love to save money on insurance? Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your boat, your RV, even homeowners, condo or renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer, which is great around here because nobody has brains. Switch today and see how you could save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Geico.
Good job.
Geico.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
All right. So,
messing with Brad. Messing
you guys, Brad. I got to tell you something.
Okay.
What now, Brad?
TikTok's been around for years. I had never even gone on. I just, so much social media and so much going on, but I decided to go on and check it out and have either of you, do either of you go on TikTok at all?
No.
How about you, Matt? Nope.
No.
TikTok is the kid, Brad.
But TikTok, the TikTok app. And I started looking at some of the car stuff on there. And I got to say, man, there's some creative stuff on there. And I just, some of it made me laugh. I mean, it was funny. And if you're bored, go on there. I did open an account. It's called Brad DTDT. You know what that stands for?
No.
Been there, done that.
Oh, God.
And all I put up was old Man Seeks Adventure videos, because we got a whole ton of them of making drinks and stuff like that. And it's amazing. Like, I put one up of mixing a cocktail, and like the next day it had like 400 views. I'm like, what the hell, you know? But I was on there mainly just to look at the car stuff, and there's some awesome stuff on there. I just didn't want to have another social media thing, because it's so much to do and take care of and stuff like that. We've talked about it here on the show, but it's fun. Go there, check it out. Give me a follow, because I only have 14 followers. So a lot of views, but only 14 followers. You know what that means, you guys?
It's mostly family.
They watched my stuff but didn't care to follow me, because they didn't care if they ever saw it again.
All right. Okay, sorry.
Dog time.
Nice.
And but anyways, hey, I'm going to start it out with something that I found in searching around, which was these just killer speed bumps. I have some speed bumps in my park here, and I'm sure you guys have some around you, that they're like peaks. They're not, you know, smooth, and you got to slow down, because if you go over them at all, they just like feel like the suspension is going to get ripped out of your car.
And, they're making them bigger.
What do you have around you, Aaron?
Logs.
That's what I was going to say.
Trees,
they're wooden
rocks.
Ones.
But we call them features and obstacles.
There you go. Matt, what do you call them? Other Mustang drivers that you run over when they go sideways?
He calls them Camaros.
Pedestrians.
Pedestrians.
Well, up in Fresno,
we're on fire.
Neighborhood
today.
Municipality decided to put in some speed bumps, but obviously engineering wasn't involved, because they made a pair of them that look more like motocross whoop-de-doos. Now get this. They're only 5 inches high, but they're 10 inches long.
Oh,
or, excuse me, 10 feet long.
You get
and
high
they set. Have 10, 10 feet between them. So when you go up to them, it's like a motocross whoop-de-doo. It's just like whoop, whoop. So your suspension loads, and then it hits again. And they're so notorious that they set up a camera. So some guy set up a camera in front of his house, because there were so many cars launching. And I'll post the link on our social media page, because on like Instagram and on our Twitter, because you should see it, man. It's like these cars, the littler the car, the more they fly. And I mean, they're getting all four wheels off. They hit and you see them like sparks, and then they hit the next one and launch, and big trucks are going and like the rears are like, you know, going off, and you see them get a little sideways and stuff. And it's just, it's crazy. It's like, wouldn't you think that they'd go, oh, we kind of screwed up. Maybe we should go redo those. Nah.
Well, the thing is what's the average wheelbase? So if both of your tires are going up on those speed bumps, when they come down, that whole car is going to compress, and you're going to lose your front and rear something.
Yeah. Cause you're loading the suspension and then unloading it. It's almost like a trampoline, like somebody's like bouncing you, you know? And it's hilarious. I mean, you watch it, even the cop cars go across it, and they, you know, it's nuts. But you know what I thought of when I was watching it, and you see these cars kind of get sideways and stuff, I thought, all these residents that are parking their cars along there, I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Would you park your car there with all these drivers? I mean, we know how crazy drivers are, and how a lot of people really can't drive and control their cars. So anyways, That's my thought on it. Do you guys like speed bumps? Because I hate speed bumps.
I love, when I'm on a motorcycle, I love speed bumps. They're easy wheelies. Or bunny hops. If you do it right, you can get both wheels up.
There you go. Bunny yeah. hops.
I like to bunny hop the speed bumps.
I've heard bunny in hop fact, for a long time.
In fact, I might go look at a trials bike today. So
trials on our bike?
On our overlanding adventures, you know, it's like, do we bring the electric bike? Do we bring the motoped? Well, I sold the motoped. I sold the M3. I sold the Aprilia. Because, like I mentioned, I think we're going to get...
Wait. Is the trials bike a bull taco?
No, I don't want two-stroke. I want a four-stroke trials bike. So I'm looking at an OSA or something. OSA, I think OSSA. Yes. Something. Anyway, yep. What's so funny, Matt? I see you laughing. What's so funny? Anyway, because they're small, they're compact. You can, you know, maneuver. I don't have to be a superstar to ride it. I don't have to be in great shape to ride it.
We're going to get TikTok videos of him riding the edge of the Grand Canyon, Matt.
Oh, plus we've all seen the videos.
Straight up. And
I want to climb a rock with one of those suckers.
What? Sorry, I'm laughing. I just went in and just watched the video of the speed bumps in Fresno. It is hilarious.
I told you, man. It's crazy.
They're just flying. Someone had like a little trailer in the back, like a U-Haul trailer. And that thing... No. Nothing fucking bounced up in the air. I just put it on. I was trying to like mute it so it wouldn't come up, and I just wanted to see it real quick. And you're right. It's by time the nose comes down and your back end is still up in the air, you're hitting the next speed bump.
Yeah.
And it just flops the car.
Nobody in engineering. Everybody search Fresno speed bumps on YouTube and you'll find
it. Just find any you know. All right. Sorry. It's hilarious. It's sad.
Did you see the guy on the trials bike?
No, I just.
He killed it.
But I think there was a motorcycle on there. Maybe that was something else, but. It's hilarious. It's unfortunate, but it's
unfortunate.
Anyway,
trials bikes. Please, Aaron, OSA.
Yeah. So my buddy's like, dude, stop chasing dirt bikes because you're just doing slow speed, you know, maneuvering stuff, and you like to do all the trail stuff, like the single track trail stuff. He's like, get a trials bike. I'm like, but aren't those for like jumping in between rocks and doing all that fancy stuff and balances and he goes, well, yeah, but he goes, I take it with me when I go overlanding because I'm out in the rocks. I'm out in all that stuff. And that's kind of what they're built for. I just climb up rocks and features and just kind of trail ride. And I'm like, that's awesome. And if you get a four stroke, they're a lot quieter, you know, and and they have a limited gas range, but, you know, you're not going that far. And there's no seat, which
I was just going to say the newer ones don't have seats, though. The older ones have at least a little seat.
Right. You know? So this is an older one and it's got a beautiful little seat pad, which sits in between that little sweep. You know, there's like a swoop in the middle and it kind of bridges that. And then it's got a lower power kit. Cause my buddy said, yeah, man, watch out those things. He said, you'll learn to wheelie real quick.
Torquey. They're torquey. Yeah.
I've never ridden one and it's a couple grand. And I'm like, well, shit, I sold the motoped for more than that. So I thought I might go down to Placido and check it out. And because they're, you know, they're not huge either. They're kind of bicycle size and they're really lightweight. And I thought, well, that might be a cool alternative, you know.
I remember the trials guys. I mean, when I had my dirt bike.
Amazing.
When I was a kid. And there was always a trials guy around, you know, on a bull taco or something. Yeah. There's another one, a CYMK, I think, that was big and popular. And maybe CYMK is what my art department uses. I'm not sure. But anyways, and they were always the guy who was like, you know, like you were saying, riding over the dead wood, you know, the logs and riding up the big boulders and doing crazy stuff. But they never went fast because all they do is kind of, they're geared really low and they're
exactly, you know. Yeah, they're low speed stuff, but I mean, they're so cool. And I wish I would have picked it up in my youth, but I would love to have been that talented, man. I mean, the guys that ride those things are amazing.
Have you ever seen either of you? Have you ever seen on some of the cable channels where they have the competitions of these guys?
Yes.
In the
yes.
arena.
No.
And I mean, it's nuts. You go, there's no way that guy's going to do it. And
I know.
You, man, they ride like straight up a wall.
Yeah.
Onto a boulder and then have to turn and go over like all these logs. It's crazy.
And then they bounce the rear wheel and completely 360 and then come down. And so the one I'm looking at is, it's a Beta. Sorry. Oh, that's the other one. I'm looking at a Beta and
it's not an Alpha.
No. Oh, Brad.
I know.
You're killing me. What year is it? They're both a little older because they're cheaper.
Yeah.
So one of them's like a 2004 and this one's a 2016.
Okay. So yeah, still have a little bit of a seat because the new ones, they dip far that they don't have any seat, man.
Yeah. 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 And these are only 250 and 350 CC.
Right.
You know, they're just that they're real low CC, but man, they're just torque machines. But I thought, maybe I'll try that. You know, why not? What do I got to lose? My neck, broken leg, but you know,
it's all low speed. You just topple over. It's not like you're going high speed.
Yeah, it's when you get ballsy and you think, yeah, I can go right along the edge of the canyon and have Misha take video of me. And whoa!
No, there will be no taking videos. Oh, I'm way off. So the one I'm looking at today is a Sherco. Man, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about. So I'm in exploratory mode.
That's right. Do the research. Just start digging into it.
Yeah. So it's a 3.2 Sherco 2009. I think one of the other ones I was looking at was older and it was the OSA or whatever. But yeah.
You know, what's weird is that you don't see them for sale a whole lot. I mean, something you see all the time.
You know what? Up here you do.
Oh,
there's probably a dozen. Yeah, they're probably a dozen. And these things run from like, you know, $1,500 for like a small one, probably like a kid size or mm-hmm. small wife size, all the way up. I've seen them for like $13,000. And I'm going, what's the difference?
Yeah.
2 pounds, you know, titanium. I don't know. But badass. But
haven't you been driving a Pathfinder? He's looking at a Pathfinder. You're thinking about, you've been driving one.
I have been driving the Pathfinder. Nissan's got a new Pathfinder out. It's a long overdue change. It's four stroke. It's a long overdue upgrade, to the aging Pathfinder. I think they did a pretty nice job with it. Honestly, it kind of looks like a Range Rover Sport. Like it's got that kind of sleeker look and the blacked out. Yeah. You know, the blackout roof and, a little bit crisper lines on the whole thing, but it's good. It's nice. You know, it's a 3-row SUV. It's priced in that like $35,000 to $50,000 range. So I think it's kind of priced well. I think it would go up against your Kia Tellurides and I think it's a Hyundai Palisade, are two good examples of competitors. It's a 284 horsepower, 3.5 liter V6. It doesn't feel like it's the peppiest thing. I mean, 0 to 60 came in at about 6.6 seconds, runs 15.2s in the quarter mile. I thought all the tech was there. Things seemed to work, Android Auto and CarPlay and a lot of all the modern safety features.
Interior, really nice.
The interior is nice. I drove one of the nicer of trim models. It came in about $47,000. No CVT transmission. So those of you that are Nissan fans, by the way, and are familiar with driving it, you're going to be happy to know there's no CVT. It's got a real transmission in it. That question's already come up a few times like on social media. And stuff. It's got the CVT? No. They're like, good.
Got a flat bottom steering wheel.
Now, wait a minute. It doesn't have CBD?
That's right. It doesn't have CBD. That's optional in California. It's probably comes with it.
And I did a little. It was $47,000 how you had it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
impressed.
I had to, I loaded it up with five people and went out to dinner in it and, five adults and
raise your hand.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Okay, but how did those five adults fit coming back from dinner after you ate?
I don't know. I was driving. I don't know if they were comfortable or not. I was just paying attention to my own life. No, everything seemed fine. I think
I sprayed out the interior. It worked for me.
It looks good. It performs well. I think it's priced well in that range. My only comments were, my only sort of quibs on the thing were, it seems to have the power, but it has a very like soft throttle response. When you put it in sport mode, it was much peppier off the line. And this just kind of felt like you had to give it a lot of throttle off the line. And there was another vehicle that I was talking about recently that I felt was kind of the same way. I think it was the Toyota Tacoma, that pickup truck. Yeah. I just felt like, you know, and I was commenting on the show going, is it, so you have more control when you're off-roading or whatever. And then I think it just a bunch of people ended up commenting on social media and direct messages going, yeah, that's an issue. It's all terrible. So, in sport mode, it felt good. In the normal mode, it felt a little soft, but maybe that's more of my driving style. So I don't see it as like a big issue if, you know, because it's more of a personal thing. And then the other thing was, oddly enough, is I just felt the front seats were just a little flat. And on, you know, I did a bit of a road trip, Brad, like down to your neck of the woods. You know, we went down to Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
Well, we went down to Laguna Beach to meet up.
Came down to the beautiful part of California.
My dad was in town, so we drove down there, and then we all went out to dinner, and we drove around for a while, and then the drive back, we just went down and back in one day, and just, you know, we just ended up spending, you know, all day in the car. And I don't know, maybe just like my ass was in a bad mood, or the seats were like a little flat. But
hey, whoa, Matt, whoa now.
But I would
ass was in a bad mood.
But you know, it's funny. It's because we've been talking about the shift in the sales model of vehicles. How you're going to just start ordering cars online from the manufacturer. The price
Ford
is the
made
price.
A big there's about that. Even.
Yeah, and Farley, Jim Farley from Ford, made a big announcement about it, saying, you know, certainly with his Mustang Mach-E and the Lightning, his EV vehicles, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way they're going. And I think Lincoln is taking on that model for all of their vehicles. And here's the deal. It's like you go online, you buy the vehicle that you want. There's no haggling on price, but there's also no markups. Like, it's just the price, right? Which I'm okay with that. And the online model, I'm okay with. The dealers will essentially become customer service centers. You take delivery of your vehicle there, you get it serviced, you get it outfitted with aftermarket stuff and so forth. But there needs to be a process, for example, with this Nissan Pathfinder, where maybe you go to the dealer, you see like all the interior swatches and you get your colors and stuff that you want. And then maybe there's a couple of units there that you can test drive. Because this is an example where you're going to look at it and go, I like it. All the numbers make sense. The specs make sense. Then you get into it for a while and you're like, seats aren't as comfortable as I thought. And the seats were always just kind of a thing specifically. Like, the showroom has to have, you know, all the different seat options. And Brad, I don't remember how many seat options are in the new Corvette C8, but when we went for their presentation, there was quite a few, right? There was like different sport seats and power seats, lightweight seats and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, it's when you go into a Ferrari dealer, like if you go to in Arizona where we go to the, I think it's that Penske like dealer, and in that like
right,
auto
they got
mall,
the museum and
they got the museum and they were selling Ferraris or something for a while, and you walk in, they have like the little room with all the swatches and all the seats, and you can sit in the wall. Yeah. It's like going to the Recaro booth at SEMA, right? And you can try out all the seats. And then when you do, you realize, oh, this is a little more snug than I thought. This is a little more comfortable. And the bolsters are like a little high, or it's like jamming under my arm. Like, you got to be able to try those things. And that I started thinking about that more when driving the Pathfinder, going, hey, I like this truck. Maybe it's just me, but I felt like the seat could have been a little bit more comfortable, but everything else was kind of there and it felt like it was priced right. And you get a 3-row SUV that seems really nice, you know, and you could probably get that thing for under 40 grand, depending on the options, you know, and for sure.
I mean, this is a big part of the automotive industry. They have wanted for years to be able to sell direct, but the dealer associations had so much clout that they weren't able to even think about it. But let's face it, you know, Tesla really broke the mold there and really changed things. Then I think the pandemic also helped them move that ball a little bit.
Big time.
And, but as you said, Matt, there are going to be some real change of dynamics there because, you know, there's been cars that we've been able to drive through the press fleets and like that, where you think, oh, great car, you get it. And like you said, maybe it's not the seat. Maybe it's that, you know, for somebody of our stature, the door sill's too high and it's just not comfortable. But you don't find that out until you get in it, you know. And, you know, a guy like Rick who works for me that's 6'5", there's certain cars that he gets in and his knees are up to his chest, even with it pushed all the way back. And, you know, that's where you've got to actually get in the car and drive it and take it around the block a few times. And, you know,
You're right. When I ordered my Mustang Mach 1, I didn't get the Recaro seats because the sides come up high. And me being a shorter guy, it kind of jams up underneath my armpit area. So I got the regular seats. I also wanted the heated and cooled seats and I wanted a more comfortable street seat. If I was going to do a track day, I could just put a track seat in it. I just didn't want to have to sit around in that seat the whole time. They just weren't that comfortable for me. So I didn't get it. And then, you know, when I do CarCast with Goldberg, we have this conversation all the time. He's a tall guy and he knows his knees are going to come up. That's not his issue. It's his shoulders are as wide as three people. And he's like, he just can't fit in cars. Like there's certain, you know, a lot of vehicles for sure. I mean, you know, he's a trooper. He'll squish himself into a car given an opportunity to drive something. You know, he drove the McLaren and he drove the new Ford GT on like a rally. He was in that thing for hours with a co-driver. And he's like, it was fun. He's like, I just couldn't get out. They had to like pull me out of the vehicle.
Well, like Mike had his Ferrari Boxer here one day and Rick was talking to him and he goes, God, I've never driven a Ferrari. I've always wanted to drive Ferrari. And Mike goes, well, you take it around the block. And Rick goes, are you serious? He goes,
Yeah, watch out for speed those bumps. Speed bumps in the parking lot. Speed bumps.
And Rick physically could not fit in the car. He could not put the seat far enough back. He could put one leg in, but when he tried to get his other leg in, he could not fit in the car. And and it was like, he was so bummed because it was like, oh man, I was going to, you know, since then I brought it for everybody. He's got to drive, but you know, it was like, one of those things. We, being height challenged, we don't have that issue. But
no, it's really true, and it's like that with the Morgan too. You know, a lot of people come over and they're like, "Can I sit in it?" And I'm like, I look at them like, "Nope, your hips are too wide. You know, your knees are too long. You know, it's like, and that car, it's extreme. It's really really challenged. But I have a hilarious picture of Ed China in the Pinsgauer, and couldn't drive it. He could sit in it, but he couldn't drive it. The steering wheel was pressed so hard against his knees. He's like, there's no way I could, without power steering, he's like, there's no way I could drive this, you know? And it's really true. The door is open. He couldn't even close the door. So yeah, I mean, there, you know, and he's 6'7", I think, or 6'6".
Yeah, I mean, so, it's a whole different thing. But I mean,
Aaron, I can hear your dog snoring and he's not even asleep yet.
Yeah.
He is so needy. So yesterday we went on a little adventure drive, like just looking at new camp spots out near Blue and Tamarack Lakes. And he was chasing dragonflies and we were wading in creeks and puddles. And man, it wore him out so much that he didn't eat when we came home. He didn't drink when we came home. He didn't even want to go to the bathroom at night before we came home. He went early this morning and that's it. He's been sleeping and he's been falling. He went into the shower with me today. It's like, dude, what is going on with you? You are, he's like so needy. French bulldogs can be kind of needy, but he is like really needy today. So much so that he's sleeping on my lap snoring during the show, which I think is only the second time he's done that. But Misha is out of town. She's in the Czech Republic. So maybe he's just feeling a little like, are you going too? Mm-hmm. Well, I hope the grocery store lets dogs in there.
Hey, we were talking at the top of the show about the Volvo or the singer of Volvos. And, and we talked about how everybody compares whatever is that next resto modded car is compared to the Singer. And, you know, Singer was far from the first company to do it. They were just one of the first companies to really jump out there and be hugely successful with orders and people that wanted to pay phenomenal prices for them.
They're incredible cars.
You saw the new car that was Scion Racing had a preview of. Now tell us about that.
Yeah. So this thing's really, really pretty cool. So the short backstory is the Polestar Racing team was a company that was partnered with Volvo for all of their racing. The World Touring Car Championship, a lot of success in that. And they've kind of mastered Volvo racing, the engine development, suspension, everything. And then at one point, Volvo came to them and bought the company, basically bought the company, the racing division, and the Polestar name, which now they have as the other car. They have their EV line, right? Polestar is the new car, the Polestar 1, which was cool. And I think they have a Polestar 3 and a Polestar 5 coming out. And those are cool. I like those a lot. And they're a partnership with Volvo and I think the parent company, Geely, and something else. So these guys, you know, they took their 20 plus years or so of racing and basically was able to cash out, sold their company, and they've turned their entire facility into a new business model. And they are building cars, as you said, similar to Singer, limited production, but multiple cars. It's not a hot rod shop. You get one at a time, you know, just sort of kind of built to order, but turnkey cars. Mm-hmm. And they're using the Volvo, the P1800. They have a P1800 Scion is what they call it. And the process is cool because there are a number of startup companies that are getting into this, this sort of turnkey modern day interpretation of cars. But these guys already had the background, the facilities. Their factory is just like, it looks like an ER. It's just like, it's beautiful. It's clean. It's white floors, everything. It just looks like you need to walk around with a lab coat. They take the Volvos, the original cars, which there are plenty of, by the way. So no issue there.
Yeah.
And they bring it down into a bare unibody. And then they basically chop off the front half after that. Then they do a whole new front aluminum substructure. And then when that's all done, there's a bit of a roll cage, and then they make a full carbon fiber body to go on top of that skin. And it is gorgeous. They did all the right little nips and tucks here and there, to get it to look good. They recreated the classic grill, but out of a solid like piece of billet. It's got all of the good running gear on it. Now the engine, the engine's kind of badass as well. It's a little 2-liter turbo, but I think it's doing about 420 horsepower, 336 pound-feet of torque at 6,000 RPMs. It's got a Hollinger, a 5-speed manual transmission. It's rear-wheel drive. It only weighs 2,180 pounds.
Wow.
That's lighter than a Miata.
And yeah,
with 420 horsepower. Now, I spoke to the CEO of the company, mm-hmm. and you know, he did point out, like, mm-hmm. keep in mind, he goes, this car takes some throttle to get it going, right? Mm-hmm. I hear the dog.
I know, I'm so sorry.
It sounds like he's talking to us.
He's snoring away.
He's like, this car has to be on the pipe for it to get it to really move. So when you're at a stoplight, you really put a lot of throttle in it to get it going, but then it just starts to really take off. It's now the pricing is about $700,000, but you're basically getting a modern day racing car, carbon fiber body. There's a lot going on there. It's a little on the high end. I'm told I may get an opportunity to drive one of these at some point in the future. And if you guys are going to Monterey, they will have this car at the Quail, probably a few events around town as well, but you will see this thing at the Quail. And I promise you, when you get up on it, it's cool. It's impressive.
It looks really nice. And that body style was way ahead of itself when it first came out. Way, way ahead of itself.
They're almost a little, they almost got a little Ferrari vibe to them, you know?
Yeah. You know, looking at the car and you look at the pictures, you'll see these bright blue pictures online. And my thought on it is, because you could kind of order it the way you want, is one, I wouldn't order it with the racing seats, like the bucket seats and the 4-point belts. I'm like, get a race car or get a street car.
Right.
And these guys were kind of talking about, yeah, we may end up doing like more racing specific versions of this thing, you know? And I go, I just don't need that seat that's hard to climb in and out of, you know, and the sidebar.
And you're getting old, aren't you, Matt?
I kind of, you know, and it's just like, I don't know if it's just getting old or it's just more like, I'm fine with a track car and I'm fine with a street car. And having the street car that has like roll bars you have to climb over and belts you have to put on, it's just kind of getting to be a pain in the ass, right? Especially for a car like this that you'd really like to drive around a bit, you know, have some fun with, do some trips on, hit up Angeles Crest and, you know, Malibu Mountains, just stuff like that, and make a few stops on the way. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, because the suspension underneath it is so modern, which is cool, they've got the hubs just pushed out so far. So the wheels end up looking very modern and very flat faced. And I think that's kind of where it loses the design a little bit. Now, the original cars had like a wire wheel on it. You wouldn't be able to do that. You'd have this very like flat, flush face wire wheel, which never really works. But to create, and Brad, maybe you have more thoughts on this being in the wheel business. It needs like a billet wheel or something that looks kind of retro.
Yeah, you know,
they did a billet wheel with a center hub and everything. Neat and all, but they could have matched the body style. Like you're saying, it looks like it should have been on a Hellcat, the mm-hmm. wheel that's on there. And they could have done something a little bit more retro and really nailed it. But everybody's got their opinion. I didn't particularly like the door panels and the fabric they chose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the little, you know, the toggle switches they did on the dash. Really like the gauges. What's amazing is if anybody looks at the photos of these gauges, they look great with the colored centers.
Yeah.
But compare it to a 62 Chevrolet Bel Air. They're dead nuts the same.
Oh, really?
They are like a 62 Bel Air gauge. The ones that have the little, you know, round gauges.
And, the dash almost has
but it's a good looking look. It looks great.
It's almost got a little bit of a port vibe.
I'll tell you, you look at the interiors and, you know, like, you look at what Singer is doing on the interior, and mm-hmm. that's the difference between a Singer and this car.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's also the difference between $1 million car and, you know, I mean, those interiors. Cause you know, Singer's guy is the guy that does his interiors. The guy used to work for me, and Andy just I mean, he worked for Lotus before me. He worked for all kinds of people. And when he worked for me here at Bond Speed, he was like, why are we doing this cheap shit? Let's do some good stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, this is really expensive. I'm talking about, he did the Ford F-150 that I did. You guys have seen that, where we did the matching luggage and everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, can we up it a bit? I go, we got 8 hides in a Ford F-150. And he's like, I know, but we could do a little more. And I'm like, oh my God. That's what he gets to do at Singer, you know?
Listen, he's not wrong.
No,
right?
He's never wrong, but it's just...
He's not wrong. But at $700,000 for this car, you're right. You want to sit down with a real artist like you're talking about and bring that to the Cyan guys and go, look, for 700 grand, let's finish the car.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's, I mean, that is not, I mean, that really narrows your market. And so that market expects that really super high-end interior.
Yeah.
So
I'm not a fan of that blue, but there's an ivory one, and I think it has brown interior. There's a couple shots of the brown interior. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, they are really gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Now, keep in mind, this blue, that's the Polestar Racing blue. That's their signature color from the Polestar day. So that's where they launched with this version. But anyway. Anyway,
I get it.
It's cool. So anyway, the question started coming up before, you know, before we hit record was, we still got a lot of great hot rod builders out there, but this sort of surgence of mass produced, you know, like limited edition, but mass produced cars, you know, like what Singer is doing. Yeah, look, Icon and his Broncos and stuff. We like Jonathan Ward a lot. Those are kind of special order, but he's making quite a few of those things. And now they're turning up at, you know, at Bear Jackson and stuff for a lot of money. Singers are, you know, used Singer Porsches are not trading for less than, I don't know, $900,000, $950,000, right? They're all million-dollar cars.
Yeah, they're million-dollar cars now, yeah.
This other company just came out of France, and they're doing a Porsche 928, a modern 928. Which is kind of interesting. I think I saw recently that somebody just did a Ferrari Testarossa. Now, I don't know if the plan on the Testarossa is just Restomod or if they plan on producing several of these things. But yeah, even Dave Kindig, right? He's teamed up with Lingenfelter. They're doing the Corvette. It's
right.
like a 1960-ish, 62-ish Corvette.
Yeah, carbon 59, fiber 60, body. Yeah.
You know, carbon fiber body, full chassis underneath, Lingenfelter engines, and they're built to order. But he's like, yeah, no, we're going to do whatever 15 or 20 of these things, right? It's this mass produced thing, and everyone is saying, hey, we're the Singer of Land Rover, we're the Singer of Volvo, we're the Singer of this, and it's like, it's great for Singer because
it's very much like our show, Matt. We're the Singer of automotive podcasts. So,
So the French company of the 928 is Nardone Automotive's 928 Restomod. Yeah, that thing's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is pretty neat. Yeah.
928s, everybody bagged on them back in the day, but
they were badass.
I had a buddy who was a regional rep for Porsche, and he would loan me cars. And 928S, I drove across the desert between Newport and Phoenix many times, and what a great car to drive, you know, on the road.
Dad had an 88 S4. And I honestly, if I could find a clean one that was kind of affordable, I would get it. That was a phenomenal car. It sounded so good and drove nice.
You could get them for nothing for a long time.
I know. But not the S4. They're so fragile. They just don't work.
I know.
You know, a lot of people put small block Chevys in them. There's a lot of them in Southern California with small blocks in them.
I think this French company, I think they were saying, I don't have all the specs, but I think they were saying they go in, they rebuild the engines. They're still, like 400 horsepower V8s is what they're doing. I think it's the engine. And I think they try to go in and redo the engine. So they took the naturally aspirated V8, They took it from 4.5 liters to 5.4 liters. And then they did just a completely modern engine management system on it. Like, you just got to take out everything that Porsche threw in the garbage. And modern, I don't know what that means. They could be running Holley fuel injection. Who knows? But they could be running, you know, a number of different things.
Yeah, there's no photos in the motor. But I love the restyling they did. It's really...
It's really an LS motor. Come on, don't let them fool you.
Yeah, right.
Put Porsche valve covers on it.
It wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. There was a guy here in Costa Mesa that was doing V8 transplants in those for years. And now you could probably find one of those and put an LS motor in it with a management system, one of the computers, and it'd probably be a bitchin' little car to drive around. But
your dog is so loud.
You're cool.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I can't put him down. I tried to earlier and he's like, nope. But you're right. The 928s can be really, really expensive to restore or keep running. And that's why I've stayed away quite a ways away. But I still look at them. When I come across the classifieds, I still go, should I? And then very quickly, I go, no.
I love my Alfa Romeo Spider. The car seems very simple. Tiny engine, you know, manual transmission, manual, you know, convertible top. And I was just constantly chasing gremlins with that thing, just electrical gremlins. And and the little things too, to be like, oh, a fuel pump relay went out, and you go to the store and you buy a relay and you put it in and it doesn't work. And it's like, oh, it turns out it was a special kind of relay and you need this very specific part number and you got to search all over the world to get it. And it's just like all these little things. And you're right. It would be a fun car if I just ripped out all the electronics and wired it up from scratch, like a goddamn hot rod. Right. Like,
it's funny you say that about the relay, because my 560 SEC Mercedes, it's exactly what happened. I got in it one day and it just went, you know, I was like, oh, what the hell? I thought it was a fuel pump. So I checked, nope, fuel pumps are good, which is good because it has two giant fuel pumps in it.
Yeah.
And so I do some research and it's, oh, the fuel relay. So it looks like a little cigarette packet that you plug in, you know, and I ordered it. Nope, nothing. Then I talked to a guy. He goes, oh, yeah, the 560 SEC had a special one, which we got to bring in from Europe, and it's like three times more expensive. I'm like,
Of course.
And you got to wait. You didn't know. Yeah. And I ended up having like five relays from every brand at every auto parts store trying to see what works in there.
I've got a box of relays too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, goddamn relays I bought.
All you had to do is call Mr. Fiat. Mr. Fiat, he knows everything. He got everything.
I tell you what, I took the car to an Alfa, a guy out here, and his mechanic missed it.
Wow.
He's like, I don't know what's going on. He goes, we replaced the fuel pumps and we checked lines, blah, 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 and ignition and ECU and swapped ECUs, and we can't figure out what it is. And then eventually I started swapping relays, like, of the ones that were there, and that didn't do it either. Wow. And then, I don't know, I just came across some indication on forums that it could be a certain type of relay. And I was like, maybe all these cheap relays I'm getting are bad. And I ended up getting it from, like, an Alfa website. And eventually, when it came in, it worked. And I was like, great. I got new fuel pumps, all this stuff. I took the tank down. I replaced the sock and everything. Like, I just did everything on that car. And just chasing gremlins on that car. But anyway.
And it's just a little Alfa.
Yeah, right. And now you're talking about a V8 Porsche, way more complex. There's a lot going on underneath the hood of that car.
Yes, there is.
Hey, Aaron, and I did, while we were talking, look on eBay, and I found you a car. You can buy it this afternoon. It's a 79 5-speed 928. Now, is it usually a bad sign when it says needs restoration?
And my book,
deal.
It's black with a tan leather interior, and it says read description carefully.
Yeah.
It starts right up, but then dies 5 to 10 seconds afterwards. Car sputters during first attempts. It's good after it warms up, though. So,
so just keep it in the desert.
Yeah,
warm. Keep in the desert.
But it's funny, you look on there, they range from, that one was $3,500. There's right. one all the way up to like 60. And it's like, yeah. that's a yeah. big span on those cars.
Yeah. And that's the thing about the 928s is there's a big span. And S4, a clean S4, you know, even in running condition, I've seen 25, 30 grand for them. They go 40, 50 grand easy.
Yeah, here's an 87 S4 for a good looking car in red.
Yeah.
$30,000.
Yep. There you go.
And, you know, but, you know, it's just one of the, you know, it's weird though. It's one of those cars that seem to have disappeared from the streets. You see them all the time.
Never seen. None of them start.
Never seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Start. So, hey, we should probably wrap it up, guys.
You know what else I don't see on the street? Renault LeCar.
I know. What's up with that?
When we were kids, everywhere. I mean, they were like Land Rover Discoveries. You saw them everywhere. Now, never seen one. Never seen. I wouldn't mind have one just for shits and giggles. In French, of course. Shits and giggles. Yeah. Shits and giggles with a sad.
Shits and giggles. And with that, we will leave. This has been another edition of Shift and Steer. Matt, where can they find us?
Oh, check us out at Shift and Steer.
No, no, no. You must do it in French. No, it's
a, I'm not doing it. Shift and Steer. I'm definitely not doing the accent. Shiftandsteer.com. Follow me at Motorator on social media.
And you can find me. That was like an Italian-French guy, wasn't French. It? Hey, you can find me at Bradley_Fanch on Instagram. And Double A Ron, how about you?
You can find me, Aaron, with the underscore, Hagar, at Yahoo. No.
Yahoo?
I'm all over the internet. Aaron Hagar, accent free, of course.
And Elm, you must go and get some dinner because your stomach has been growling through this whole thing. No,
this is my French bulldog.
That's why it was right. growling in French that's... with an accent.
I know.
All it's right, everybody. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, go follow us, go follow the site, and go follow your heart, wherever it takes you. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Too bad you pressed record on this show, Brad.
Exactly.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Geico, and Geico asks, would you love to save money on insurance? Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your boat, your RV, even homeowners. Condo or renter's coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy to use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer, which is great around here because nobody has brains. Switch today and see how you could save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Geico.
Good job.
GEICO.
In the California Road Trip Republic, we believe you take adventure for a ride. Whether coastal cruising, mountain motoring, or redwood roaming, discover beauty around every turn. Your California road trip can kick off from anywhere.
Starting route.
But it should always start at visitcalifornia.com. Then buckle up, crank those tunes, and ride with us in the California Road Trip Republic. Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean
every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I had the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.